Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I'm happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God was released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning, and let me welcome you again to our radio broadcast. This is Pastor John McIntosh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. I pray for everyone in the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. We honor the best gifts of the Holy Spirit to be in operation during this broadcast, especially the gifts of healing. Satan, we rebuke you and render your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and covenant with you, Father. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, please open your Bibles to Hebrews 11. That's Hebrews 11. And I will read our foundational scripture we are using for this teaching on faith. If you found Hebrews 11, go to verse 6. And it says, and I will be reading this particular verse from the Holy Spirit Encounter Bible, Hebrews 11:6. So you see, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him, God, must believe that there is a God and that He, God, rewards those who sincerely seek Him, God. Amen. So again, no matter what version we read from, we found out that without faith, it is impossible to please God. We've learned from Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In order for it to be the correct faith, it must be the word of God. Faith in itself comes by hearing. Let me repeat that. Faith in itself comes by hearing. So faith can have a negative effect on an individual as well as a positive one, depending on what they are hearing. Now, our last time together, we were discussing the evidence to support the reality of a creator versus the evidence to deny the existence of a creator. God has revealed himself to us, his family, the body of Christ, in his word. Please go to the book of John, chapter 4. The book of John, chapter 4. And we will read verse number 24. Now, Jesus is speaking with the woman at Jacob's well. outside the city of Sychar in Samaria. It says, "For God is a spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Amen. Now, God is not a man. He is not flesh and blood. But God is a spirit. And actually, so are we. But we need a physical body or bodysuit to exist in this three-dimensional physical world we live in, because we were created for this world. If you put a man in water, he will suffocate and die. We call it drowning, but it's really suffocation. You suffocate because you cannot breathe air through water. Fish can breathe air through water, but not air. Man cannot breathe air through water. So fish have to have a gill system to live underwater. Man is a spirit. As humans, we have to have a bodysuit to live in this three-dimensional world. But at the heart of us, at the real center and the core of you, you are a spirit made in the image and likeness of God. God is a spirit. If you are made in his image and likeness, you must be like God. Go with me, please, to Genesis chapter 2. That's Genesis chapter 2. If you are made in his image and likeness, you must be like God. Genesis chapter 2. And I believe this verse will give you more clarity on the subject of your likeness of God. Genesis 2, verse 7. And I'll be reading from the traditional King James Version. And it says, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Now, when the Lord blew into this man that he had created from the dust of the ground, he breathed into the man the breath of life. What he actually done was to breathe into him God's vital breath, his divine inspiration, his intellect, and his spirit. That's why you are a spirit, because God blew himself into you. I can feel some of you, and I can feel how you guys are looking at me through the phone. You look a little confused about when I say that you are a spirit. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. And let's see if we can clear this up a little bit. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. It says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Amen. Now, that Spirit is large case, so it's speaking about the Holy Spirit. So you have the privilege to have the Holy Spirit plus God's essence of the breath that he threw into you, that he breathed into you when he created Adam. Amen. So you are a spirit. Amen. The way you have to contact or relate to God is by faith. It is amazing. People can read all kinds of books, all kinds of magazines, and other type of information and relate to them. But when it comes to God, all of a sudden, it becomes spooky or the Twilight Zone. Nobody can believe what the Word of God says. We have to understand that faith is the language of the kingdom of God, like notes or the language of music. If you don't know how to read the notes, then you cannot play the music, and you are at a great disadvantage when it comes to reading, writing, or playing the music. If you don't know the language of faith, you are going to be you are going to be not able to function in the kingdom of God successfully. You will be like many people who do not know music. They can pick up an instrument and they can make noise, but that's all it is. It is noise. It is not a melody or a sweet sound of symphonic music. It does not have any reason to it whatsoever, but just noise. This is the same way many people in the kingdom of God are. They are making a lot of noise, but they are not operating by faith, and things are not working for them in their lives. The more you get out of the sense realm and into the spirit realm, the easier it is for you to walk by faith. Let me repeat that. The more you get out of the sense realm and into the spirit realm, the easier it is and it will be for you to walk by faith. As you walk by faith, at first it becomes a conditioning process. You have to get adjusted to studying, reading, and fellowshipping with the Lord. You have to progressively apply the principles of faith in your daily routine. Once you have mastered that, then it becomes second nature to walk by faith. Once you have walked in the process for some time, then you would not have to see something and you would not have to feel anything. You would just take God at His word. Amen. See, Dr. Michelle and I, we have been doing this for some time. So we just take God at His word. We are not moved by what we see. We are not moved by what we believe. We believe the word of God. Amen. It is not to say that we do not have challenges in our lives, because we do. But with faith, we overcome them. We have made the choice to do that. And you can do the same thing. We are not anyone special. We don't have anything special. We just made a choice that we are going to walk by faith and not by sight. God gave each and everyone a free will. So you have a choice to either do it or not to do it. That we are going to walk by faith in victory. Amen. That's the choice we made, that we are going to walk in victory. We found out that God honors His word. We have to know the word, and we have to operate based on that word in order to put God's power into operation in our lives. Please turn with me to James chapter 1. That's James chapter 1. And we will read a verse that connects with what I just said. Verse 1:22. And it says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." So in order for God's power to be in operation in your life, you have to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. Now, what I'm going to say, I want to use your brain that God gave you, and not just for a hat rack. And please do not throw the baby out with the bath water. Did you know that in the Garden of Eden, there were 747 jets parked on the garden runways? They had AM, FM radios in the garden. They had UHF and VHF televisions. They also had video games, satellites, and satellite communications. Radar was in the garden. They had electrical lights in the garden. Electricity was already there. Now I would like for you to think with me for a moment. Man has created nothing. Let me repeat that. Man has created nothing. what man did not create was flying. He did not create flying. Birds were flying before man ever came along. All man did was discover how to cooperate with the existing laws. Laws that God put in motion before he put Adam and Eve in the garden. Electricity was already there. All man did was discover how to cooperate with the law so that it would produce good for us rather than harming us. Electricity can light your home, but it also can harm or kill you. None of these things were created by man. Now listen to me. None of these things were created by man. Man just discovered how to cooperate with the laws God established. Amen. The Wright brothers, Orville and Wilbur, made the first flight at Kitty Hawk. They did not invent flying. They just discovered how to cooperate with the laws of aerodynamics. But that information was already in the Garden of Eden. Now, do you guys understand what I'm saying? I hope I'm not going over your head, and I hope that you can understand what I'm saying. All these laws were already established by God. Man did not create these. Just as we had to learn how to cooperate with the laws of aerodynamics in order to fly, so God has laws that govern the spirit world. Amen. These laws are activated by faith. That is why faith is so important, and why the devil fights the message of faith so vigorously. He does not want you to find out how to operate in the law of faith and begin to receive the benefits of the kingdom of God. Remember, God rewards those who diligently seek him. Remember, in John 10:10, it says, Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. He wants you to live the abundant life. And you do that through faith. Amen. Now please turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And we will go to verse number 8. And it says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith was being preached by the Apostle Paul some 2,000 years ago. What did Paul mean when he said, the word is near you, in your mouth? Why is it in your mouth? It is there for you to speak it out. Amen. Paul also said in that same verse that, and in your heart. Now, what is it when he means in your heart? It means to believe it, the word. Your heart, believe it or not, is not that muscle that pumps the blood, but is the center of your threefold nature. When the Bible says heart, it means the spirit of man, using the word metaphorically, because it means the center and the core of the threefold nature. You are a spirit, and you have a soul, and you live in a body. Let me repeat that, because this might be new for some of you. It says, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. You are a tri or three part being. Okay, turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And please turn to verse 23. And it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. When you say the heart of the problem, well, what do you mean? You mean the center or core of the problem, which everything else evolves around. Spirit, soul, and body. When you say the heart of the apple, what do you mean? You mean the center and the core of the apple, which everything else revolves around. When you say the heart of the tree, what do you mean? You mean the center of the tree. When the Bible says the heart of man, that means the center and core of man. Now, what is man? Man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in a body. We just read it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. So, we see that you are a tripart being. You cannot believe God with your mind. This is where many intellectuals have a challenge with faith, because they are so accustomed and conditioned to evaluating everything and calculating everything with their human intellect. Now, there is nothing wrong with human intellect in its right place. But when it comes to the thing of God, you cannot walk by your intellect. You have to walk by faith. Now go with me to Romans chapter 1. Because this intellectuals, it's amazing to me. Because sometimes I sit back and I wonder, all these great leaders that we have, why do we still have homelessness? Why do we still have joblessness, people that don't have jobs? Well, you know what? We're going to find out. Romans 1, 22, and it says, "Claiming to be wise, they became fools instead." Now, I think the New King James says, "Professing to be wise, they became fools." See, the intellectuals, they profess to be wise because they cannot accept the things of God, because it's foolishness to them. But we know better. Amen. Now go back with me to Romans 10 and verse 8. And it says, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. Amen. What should preachers preach? The word of faith. Amen. When we preach the word of faith, what is it we preach? We preach the gospel. Amen. And when the gospel is preached, what do we preach? The good news. Amen. What happens when you get news? Well, when you get news, you generally get information. Once you have information, you become the possessor of what? Of knowledge. Now notice the progression. You have the word of faith, which we preach. Then we preach the gospel, or the good news. And the news imparts information. And information brings knowledge. But what kind of information and what kind of knowledge is it? It is information and knowledge about God. Hallelujah. Paul said in verse 8, What does it say? It says the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Hallelujah. Interesting. Why not just say the word of God? Because it is the word of God. Why does he call it the word of faith? He calls it the word of faith because in Romans 10:17, it says this, and I'll be reading it from the Holy Spirit Encounter Bible. It says this, yet faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the good news, the gospel about Christ. Amen. Faith is God's modus operandi and this mode of operation. There are certain athletes, if you notice, that have routine in their in the way they do things. Well, God also has a modus operandi. But you know what? I have a modus operandi that I have to stop when I'm out of time. But please join us next week when we continue our teaching on faith, the importance and the meaning of faith. But until then, remember these words from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net. and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.